Patrick Lester's director of federal fiscal policy at OMB Watch and writing about this issue. Patrick, it seems like I'm hearing more and more voices. It's telling me that sequestration might not be as bad as it's been cracked up to be. Is that fair to say, do you think?
A small but growing group, I think.
The small but growing group is saying things like you're writing on OMB Watch's website. We have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com. But what are some of the steps, I guess, what are the first steps for mitigating the effects of sequestration if indeed it happens on January 2nd?
Well, I'd happy to do that. Let me talk first a little bit about the politics, because I think most folks in your audience are thinking that sequestration can't happen. And as you sort of alluded to there, it's a relatively small group right now. But if you were to look at the politics over the next few months between now and January 2nd, obviously today's big news is the elections, but tomorrow's big news is going to be what next on the budget. And if we end up with a status quo election and President Obama were to be reelected, and you have almost certainly will have a Republican House of Representatives, we're going to see basically the same stalemate politics that we've had in the past. A status quo election will produce status quo stalemate on the budget. And I think folks are assuming that because sequestration sounds so bad, you've got cuts in defense spending and domestic spending, that there's no way that Congress could let that happen. But I think folks who think that are forgetting what happened just a year ago when we went right up to the brink on the debt crisis. And as it turns out, if you look a little bit harder, sequestration is nowhere near as bad as the debt crisis. So if a President Obama and the Democrats in the Senate versus Republicans in the House were not able to easily strike a deal then, I think it's probably a little bit optimistic to think that they will do so this year.
All right. You're writing about some of the strategies for mitigating and postponing, as you're calling it, the impacts of these cuts. Where would OMB, in your view, where should OMB start in order to do that?
Well, so the administration has a few options, and I'll just get into the details right now. So OMB, right from the beginning, has power to basically implement the federal budget over the course of the year. Congress constitutionally has the authority to set the budget, but once they pass those appropriations bills, it is up to the administration, the president, to decide how that money will be spent over the course of the year. OMB has a little-known authority, although perhaps not quite as little-known in your audience, to basically adjust the rate of spending throughout the course of the year. It's a little bit like throttling forward or backward if you had your hand on the motor. And so what they have the ability to do, if, as many people expect, if we were to go over January 2nd, very few people think that we will have sequestration for the entire year. They think it will be a little bit like the pressures that were felt back when there was a government shutdown back in the 90s. And so if the assumption is that sequestration, if it were to happen, will only last for a short period of time, then OMB could decide to speed up the funding at the beginning of the year, basically in January, just enough to prevent those cuts from really biting until, say, February, at which time, if you know we were still to have sequestration, then OMB would have to really start throttling backward, and some of the cuts that people talk about would begin to start taking place.
Now, as those cuts would start to take place, the folks that are talking about sequestration as not being as bad are starting to say, too, that those are not going to be automatically in place immediately on January 2nd, that there'll be a ramp-up time that may provide the that members of Congress need to be able to straighten this out.
I think that that's probably accurate. Now, at the end of the day, everything that I laid out in my paper are simply options that the administration has. Just because the administration has options does not mean they will actually do these things, and a sort of ramp-up strategy, as you just described, probably would be the way it would happen. There are a number of other strategies that the federal agencies have themselves. I'm not sure if you wanted to get into that.
Yeah, why don't you?
Well, just quickly, because I know you probably don't have a lot of time, but every year the federal agencies themselves control the money that they, or the rate at which they spend their own funds. Now, at the end of the fiscal year, they need to spend the money that Congress appropriates, but it's quite common, mostly because of continuing resolutions, those temporary budget bills get passed at the beginning of every year, which happens almost every year. Federal agencies are quite used to basically pinching their pennies at the beginning of the fiscal year, waiting to see what that final bill looks like, and then there's oftentimes a spend down towards the end of the fiscal year. That equivalent of federal agencies saving their money up front and then spending it towards the end is something that agencies themselves have done and probably will do this year.
And may be able to, in some cases where it's appropriate, do that in reverse if they need to spend less and then find that they have more money available through whatever deal is made.
That's true. And then where does that money get spent? Well, of course, they probably will prioritize personnel at the beginning to minimize the number of furloughs. There's a lot of reasons to think that that will happen. And the dollars will probably be cut back in January, say, on contracts or new grants. But then as soon as sequestration were reversed, and everyone expects that would happen, that's when those new grant and contract dollars will go out the door.
Another thing, Patrick, that it sounds like I hear you saying is that CFOs and other financial officials at agencies across government will have a lot more autonomy for determining how this happens than people have been talking about, especially through the summer, where everybody said this is salami slice cuts, where it's going to be X percent off the top of every single program, whether it works or not, and that's the most horrible thing in the world. That doesn't sound like really good planning strategy, but it also doesn't sound like what you're telling me has to happen if an agency doesn't want it to.
No, it doesn't have to happen. Now, of course, in most of these strategies, the agencies would have to work with OMB, but if we get past January 2nd, OMB is not that big a place. It's pretty big, but if you have to go down to the level of individual budget accounts or even smaller, there's just not enough OMB staff to do all of this by themselves, and so there's going to be a lot of cooperation between OMB and the agencies, and quite frankly, a lot of the agencies will be on their own.
Your analysis is terrific, and it's titled Mitigating the Impact of a Temporary Sequester. You sounds like you're convinced that sequester will be temporary and that eventually Congress and the President, whoever it is, will figure out a way to work things out.
That's my best guess. By the end of January, I think if there is a sequester, it should be over.